Thank you very much, sister. We do appreciate that so very much. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of, guess where? Jeremiah. If you're here in this morning's service, you might have remembered that. Different chapter this time, Jeremiah chapter number 33. Jeremiah chapter number 33. Again, we'll be looking at verse number 33 in just a moment or two. Let me just remind you, if you're taking the marriage and family class, we're excited to have you there. Donna and I have been praying for you for the past several weeks and got an updated list, some new additions to that, so we added them to our prayer list. We're praying for you that you would receive from that time what God would have for you. Because I don't know what you need, but God knows what you need. So no matter what I teach, and I'm going to be teaching the curriculum as outlined by Dr. Sexton and Crown College of the Bible, but God always has something for you, amen. So I trust that you'll come willing to be open and receptive to what God has for you. Again, there is no cost to that. The church is filling the cost for the one book per family and the notebooks as well for each person. We encourage singles to come, married people to come. If you're separated or divorced, we encourage you to come as well, and just come be a part of that. It's coming down to the end of the rope of when you can actually sign on, so we can try to make some adjustments. If you still have not made up your mind, but you leave here today, you say, God has really clearly spoken to my heart. And so at least for that first class, we'll make a way for you to try to be there for that. All we ask that as you come, we are put out the resources from the church and taking the time to teach the class, so we ask you to be faithful as we ask the other people. And by faithfulness, we mean that you only can have two unexcused absences during a class. And so I trust that you'd be able to do that and come be a part of that. And it is my prayer that'd be a real blessing to you. If there's a great need in America today, if there's a great need in our churches today, is that our families get back to the biblical role of mom and dad and children, and that we might have a blessed home. Amen. And so I'm not saying you're going to enjoy everything you hear, but it will be the truth of God's word, and you apply it as you see fit to do so. And so we're looking forward very much for that. Let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's word, Jeremiah chapter 33. If you found that, look down to verse number 3. Again, a very familiar passage of scripture to many of you that have been around for a while. You'll give a good understanding of this verse and remembrance of this as we read it in just a moment or two. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 3, call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's read it out loud, together, one time, all of us together. Again, as we read, it's been our practice with Psalm 23, we read this verse with meaning, so let's read it. Call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts and head this evening, Father, once again, we humbly bow before the throne of grace. Father, I ask the Lord that you would anoint these lips of clay. Father, I pray that you would be a help to this preacher as I preach and teach from this passage of Scripture. Oh, Father, surely the words that we have to say are needful words. Some, Father, are going to hear these words and are going to fall on deaf ears, Father. Some is going to fall on the stony ground, Father. But, Father, I pray that some will fall on the fallow ground and apply these truths to their life. So, Father, no matter what they think of this, help them to understand, Father, that all that I say is according to the truth of God's word or the application thereof to our lives. So, Father, I pray now that you would bless. Be with those, Father, that can't be here with us this evening. Father, we think of our brother Rick, Father, recovering from surgery in hospital over in Norfolk. Father, we do pray for him. We pray, Father, for the infection that's crept into his port. Father, I pray that you would touch him, his body, Father, that you might heal him. And then, Father, we pray for others as well that are sick and not feeling well. Miss Kay, as she's recovering from her knee surgery, Father, I pray for the good reports that we hear from that. And Father, we just ask now and pray that you bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Oh, Father, help us now in this day and this hour, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I want to bring to you this message that I've entitled, I Found the Answer, I Learned to Pray. I found the answer, I learned to pray. It's not my intent to be very long this evening, so having said that, I trust and pray that you would really be attentive to what we do have to say for you this evening. I wonder, has anyone ever asked you what your favorite scripture in all the Bible is? Very quickly, what's your favorite scripture in all the Bible? Raise your hand. You don't have to quote it. Just give me the address. If you know it, you can quote it. Psalm 1:3. Jude 22. Anybody else? Favorite verse in all the Bible? Yes. Ephesians 2:8-9. Great verse. Yes. 2 Timothy 1:7. That's wonderful. There's so many to pick from the Bible. We could just go on and on, on and on. But a favorite scripture for a lot of people is found here in Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. It goes like this. Now get these words. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that which thou knowest not. Some refer to this scripture as God's telephone number, because in this verse, God is asking us to call upon him. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Nat King Cole. And Nat King Cole sang a song in a way that only Nat King Cole could sing a song. And the song was entitled this, I Found the Answer, I Learned to Pray. So now the question is, do you really believe that prayer is the answer? Do you really believe that prayer is the answer, that prayer has the answer? A lot of people will say that they do, but truly, I'm really convinced of this, that most people say that they believe that prayer has the answers. But you know what? If they really believe that, there'd be a lot less grumbling and a lot more praying going on here in our churches today. From cover to cover, the Bible teaches us the same thing that this song entitled teaches us. The solution to all our life's major and minor problems is simply this. It is simply this, that we can handle those things in prayer. And as we pray, I think there's two things that we recognize. Notice, first of all, notice our dilemma. And by that term dilemma, I mean that we face difficulties in prayer. We recognize two separate things in our dilemma. Notice, first of all, there are some problems that we can handle. There are some problems that we can handle. A lot of parents really don't do a very good job at teaching their children this lesson in life. For example, as our children, your children grow up, they need to be taught there are things that they can do and good parents expect them to do. Somebody say amen for that. For example, your children should be responsible for keeping their bedroom clean. Listen, it's their bedroom. It's not yours. Do they come in and clean your bedroom? I hope not. I hope you don't make them do that. I hope you clean your own bedroom. They ought to be taught from the very early age to clean their own bedroom. They ought to be responsible for making up their own bed. Think about it. They slept in it. They messed it up. And they should be the ones to make it up, not mama and not daddy. Listen, if you let them have a pet and it's their pet, guess what? They ought to be responsible for the feeding and caring of that pet. Remember this, it's not your pet, it's their pet. Now, if it's your pet, don't throw it off on them. You go outside and clean up the doo-doo out of the yard. But if it's their dog, you feed them, you water them, you brush them, you bathe them, and not them. But if it's theirs, you make them do it. Children ought to be taught something as simple as this. They ought to be taught to hang their clothes up after wearing them or put them in the dirty clothes pile. Oftentimes in counseling we hear, Pastor, you just don't know. He leaves his dirty underwear laying all around the house. His socks are in the living room. His pants are halfway to the bedroom. His shirt is laying on the bedroom floor. And listen, why do they do that? Your husband does that because his mama never taught him to pick up after himself. You have an obligation to teach your children to hang up their clothes or put them in a dirty clothes pile. Some people shouldn't have to do these kind of things for them. It's not your responsibility. It's not the maid's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. Think about it. If you never taught your children to be responsible when growing up, it shouldn't surprise you one little bit when they have grown up that their parents still have to do things for them, what they should be doing for themselves. Think about this. Why is it that parents today don't teach their children responsibilities? Why isn't that a mom or a dad won't teach their children to pick their clothes up, to feed their dog, to take care of things around the household? I tell you why they don't do it, because most of the time it's easier and it's faster for the parents to do it themselves than to take the time to train their children. And this is the attitude that a lot of parents have today. I could do it faster and easier myself than going through the hassle of trying to make my child do this job. Listen, when my children were growing up, there was no hassle. They either did it or they had another problem, amen? So there's no problem with that. But you know what? You can say, and it is true, it is faster sometimes for you to do it, but it's better for you to train your children to do it. And when you don't train your children to do that, guess what? You've cheated your child out of the ability to take care of themselves. You know, God the Father is not like that. For example, if you are too lazy to work for yourself, guess what? God's going to let you starve. If you don't think so, try this. Call your boss up tomorrow morning and just quit. Refuse to take responsibility for yourself. And you'll see that after a week or two, after you eat all the grub that's in your house and in your refrigerator, after you bummed it off your parents and your friends, guess what? You're going to starve yourself to death. We have parents today with grown children, and these parents are still doing for their children what their children ought to be doing for themselves. God expects us to handle things in life that we are able to handle. I know what you're thinking, Pastor, where are you going with this? Just hang on. You'll find out in just a minute or two. We really are talking about, I found the answer, I learned to pray. But you know what? We are to handle. God expects us to handle what we're able to handle. But that doesn't stop today's Christians from saying things like this. I want God to provide a car for me. You know what I say to you? Get a job and buy a car. Some people say, I want God to give me some clothes. Guess what? Get a job and buy some clothes. Some people say, I need God to provide some food for me. Listen, get a job and buy some food for yourself. God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Absolutely not. And you can pray until you're blue in the face. Some Christians remind me of the guys and girls who stand out there in the medium of Hampton Center Parkway and other roads in our town and in the cities all across the peninsula. Most of them appear to be perfectly healthy. I look at the guy and his clothes are cleaner than mine. He has a clean haircut and a clean shave, and he doesn't look dirty, doesn't look like he's crippled, or doesn't look like he can't work. He looks perfectly healthy, but they're standing there holding a sign that says, God bless you, to make you feel guilty if you don't give him anything. They have their hand out and they're wanting somebody to take care of them. Listen, they need to take care of themselves. Some Christians remind me of the lazy people that are in our society today who want the taxpayers of this land to pay for their houses. They want us to pay for their children, want us to pay for their babysitters, want us to pay for their health care, want us to pay for their medicine. Notice I said lazy, not disabled, because they're totally different. If you're disabled, this is not speaking about you. We're talking about lazy people who can work but desire not to work, and they scam and use the system. The only thing I think lazy people should ask Uncle Sam for is the lift of the heavy taxes that are on me and the heavy taxes that are upon you, that we can take care of ourselves, and then maybe we have enough left over to help those that are around us. There's something wrong with this situation. There's so-called ministries all over the peninsula and all the cities surrounding us that take the tithes that support these ministries, and they provide lodging and food for men and women who are just flat out too lazy to work. We're not talking about people through no fault of their own that are out of a job. We're not talking about people who collect unemployment. We're not talking about people who are disabled physically or mentally and they cannot work. We're not speaking about that. But listen, when a nation and a church and parents help people by helping them when they could do for themselves, guess what? We aren't really helping them. We're destroying them. And the Lord expects us to take care of things that we can take care of ourselves in our own lives. I know what you're thinking. I never heard preaching like this. Well, just hang on, because it gets better this evening. Let me give you a biblical example of what I'm talking about. Do you remember that when the Lord came to the tomb of Lazarus? You remember they gathered there, and he's been 3 days, and he stinketh, and things all along that way without going back to read it. You know the story I'm talking about. In front of that tomb, there was a large rock there. And we find that Jesus told the men to remove the stone. Guess what? That was something that they could do. The Lord could have said, stone, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And guess what? If the Lord would have said that, that stone would have rolled up, picked up, been plucked up, and cast into the sea. But instead, he told the people that were there to do that. Why did he do that? There was something that they could do. And guess what? God, the Lord, expected them to do what they could do. A lot of Christians have asked God for a lot of things for themselves, and he expects them to do it for themselves. A lot of Christians are waiting for God to do something, and God is waiting for them to do something. For example, a little while ago, maybe you entered into some gossip, or maybe you entered into some inappropriate words or inappropriate gestures or words or jesting. And maybe you told some lies about someone, and that person, literally now you would say, they hate your guts. And now you're praying to God and ask God to straighten out the mess. Listen, my friends, you've made the mess. God expects you to go to them and straighten the mess out yourself. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask God to be a help to you. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask the Holy Spirit to be there with you as you speak to them. But oftentimes, we ask God to take care of things that God expects us to take care of for ourselves. There are problems we can handle. And you can spend the rest of your life praying for God to work it out, but you're wasting your time. What you can do for yourself, God expects you to do it for yourself. There are problems, first of all, that we can handle. But then notice something else this evening. There are some problems that we cannot handle. Let's go back a moment to the biblical example of the tomb of Lazarus when God told the disciples to move the stone. It was something that they could do, and guess what? They did. They removed the stone. But when it came to raising Lazarus from the dead, that was something they could not do. They did not have the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. That was something they could not do. He had them to step aside, and Jesus did only what he could do. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Oftentimes, we don't have the resources to deal with these kind of problems. And that's why God tells us through Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 33 in verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When we pray for something, it recognizes there's a dilemma that's in our life that's too big for you and I to handle. And we are recognizing this as we pray that God is the only one that can handle this problem. Well, when we pray, we not only recognize our dilemma, but notice, secondly and lastly, we recognize our dependence. We recognize our dependence. You see, God made it so there are some things in this life that we're forced to depend on him for alone and nobody else. It seems like this. No matter how much money you have, it's never enough. Now, I'm not saying you're totally dead broke, but it just seems like the amount of money you have, it's not enough. And it just always has been that way. Not that you're greedy, not that you're full of filthy lucre, but it seems like even if you're the one that's most cost effective in all that you do, it never seems like there's enough money to go around. Never seems that no matter how talented you believe you are, it's not enough. No matter how good that you think you are, it's not good enough. No matter how resourceful your friends are, it's not enough, and they're never enough. There's times in this life when we just have to flat out depend upon him alone and nobody else. Did you know that anything that bothers you bothers God? Did you know and understand this evening that there's nothing in our life that's too big or too small that God doesn't care about? Let me help you this evening. If you care about it, God cares about it. If you worry about it, God is there for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him. Get these words, for he careth for you. If you care about it, God cares about it. In Luke 18:1, we find this, speaking about Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to faint not. And not to faint. Think about that. Men ought to always pray. And when you and I are praying, we're saying this, that God, I am depending upon you because I have no one else to depend upon. It's either you or it's nobody. Look again at our text verse in Jeremiah 33 in verse number 3. He says, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Notice two truths from this passage of Scripture. First of all, Jeremiah says, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God is saying, call unto me. You know what? God knows we have a tendency to forget to call upon him. So he reminds us to call unto me. Boy, you know, we have a tendency to forget a lot of things. And it also manifests oftentimes in our spiritual life. And we forget to call upon God. And we look to mom and we look to dad. We look to our workers. We look to the doctors. We look to the government to take care of us. But that's not what this verse says. God says, call upon me. And the Bible has many passages that speak about our need to call upon him. In Psalm 50, in verse 15, the Bible says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In Isaiah 55, in verse 6, we find these words. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Boy, we look at that verse and we think oftentimes as it relates to salvation. And thank God for the one lady today who felt the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to her heart. And she called upon him and received Christ as her Savior. But oftentimes as well, we forget about this, that God is ever present with us and he's right there beside us. And grace and mercy we saw follow us all the days of our life. And so while he is near, the Bible says, call upon me. And then Matthew 7, verse 7, we find these words. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible continues and says, pray without ceasing. Over and over, the Bible tells us there are times when we need to learn that we cannot depend upon our own resources. We cannot depend on our own abilities, no matter how good they are. We can't depend on our family. We can't depend on our friends. We can no longer depend on our bosses to take care of us or the government of the United States of America. He said we can depend only on him. It's our responsibility to call upon him. And he says, call unto me. Well, not only does he say, call upon me, notice what God says secondly. He says, and I will answer thee. The one who commands us to call upon him is the same one who says, and I will answer thee. Boy, he tells us to do something, and he says, if you'll do it, I'm going to answer it for you. You know, I thought about calling and answering, and how many times do we call people and we get their voicemail and nobody answers? We have to send them a text, and then maybe they'll text us back a little bit later. But you know what? As I thought about that, I thought this. Thank God that when we call upon God, the Bible says he will answer thee. God has an obligation to answer us when we call upon him. Understand this. God has made his children a promise, and the promise is if you'll call, I will answer you. And get this, in case you've forgotten this and it has slipped your feeble mind, that God is a promise keeper. He keeps his promises as outlined in his word. Think about this. If we did our part and we called upon God and for God not to do his part and answer us as he has promised that he would, that would make you and I better than God. That is, we've done our part. We called upon him, and he has said in his word that he would call upon us, and if he doesn't call upon us, he hasn't done his part, and he hasn't kept his promise. But understand this evening, that will never, ever, ever be the case. The God who tells us to call is the same God who answers us when he calls. He's promised us he will not snatch the rug out from underneath us when we go to him and look to him in prayer. If we call, the Bible says, he will answer. What an assurance that is for you and I. There was three women on top of a burning building, and please don't get mad at me. One was a redhead, and one was a brunette, and of course you know who the last one had to be. hope there's none in here, but there had to be a blonde. And they're all scared to death and didn't know what they were going to do. The fire department showed up with a big, large blanket. And all the men grabbed the corner of the blanket, and surrounded the blanket, and they yelled up to the redhead, "Jump! We're going to catch you." So the redhead jumped, and she reached, just as she reached the blanket, they jumped back, and she hit the ground. Then they yelled up to the brunette, "Jump! We're going to catch you." She said, "Nah, I saw what you did to the redhead, and there's no way that I'm going to jump." They said, "Oh, no, come on. We don't really like redheads. Our favorite are brunettes, so go ahead and jump." So they won her confidence, and the brunette jumped, and just before she got to the blanket, they snatched the blanket out from underneath her, and she hit the ground like a ton of bricks. So finally, it was the blonde's turn to jump. And they yelled up to her, "Jump! We're going to catch you." She said, "Nuh-uh." She said, I saw what you fellas did to the redhead. I saw what you did to the brunette, and there is no way that I'm going to jump." They said, listen, we didn't really like redheads. We didn't really like brunettes, but we love blondes. So go ahead and jump. You're going to be all right." So she realized as she looked around that the flames were leaping literally almost on the back of the shirt that she was wearing. And she thought, "Man, if I don't jump, I'm going to be burned alive. So she said, "Okay, I'm going to jump. But I want you to lay the blanket on the ground and then stand back." Of course, you know what happened next. Listen, here's the spiritual truth. God has called upon us to call upon Him. And He will always answer. He's never going to snatch the safety net out from underneath us. He literally says in His Word, "Call upon Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Notice God said, "I will show thee." The reason that too many Christians today are confused and they lack the things of necessity from God is because they haven't found out that the answer is to pray and turn to Him and ask Him. And if you're a child of God, don't waste your time in ridiculous prayers about things that you can just do yourself. But if you are a child of God and you find yourself in a situation that you're unable to take care of, God says, "Call upon Me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So as we close this evening, what's the answer? The answer is simply this: when you can't do it for yourself and when no one else can do it for you, then call on God and you can say as you do, "I found the answer. I learned to pray." And when that Christian prayers, the prayers that they pray, tell us something about themselves. That tells us they understand their dilemma. There are some things, according to the Bible, that you can do for yourself, and there's some things that God will do for us. Then it tells us about their dependence. Are you willing to pray in total dependence upon God, that He will hear and answer and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not? Find the answer this evening, and let's learn to pray. Father, we come before You this evening. We thank You, Father, for the preciousness of Your Word. Oh, Father, just this one little verse here in the 33rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, in verse number 3, gives us such great insight into this matter of prayer in our lives. And Father, so many times we've been guilty of praying about things that we could just take care of ourselves. And Father, it's not that we're leaving You out and not leaving Your will out and not asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, but there is just some things that we can do ourselves. Help us to recognize that. But then help us, Father, to realize this as well. There's some things that we cannot do ourselves. So, Father, I pray during those times You would help us, Father, have total dependence upon You. You have promised, Father, in Your Word, "I will answer."